We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Swindon, and we've got a wonderful show for you. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with State Senator Jeremy Moss, who is head of the coalition of the Black Jewish Caucus in the state legislature. And we're going to talk about who, what, where, when's, why's, and how's of that august body. In the second half hour of the show, we'll be talking about the portion of Re'e and the month of Elul, which is coming up. Elul means Rosh Hashanah is coming. So we'll be talking about that. That's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11 and following. We've got a host of wonderful Jewish music, a great Hasidic story, all at the end of the show. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. With sadness, we inform you of the passing of Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz Evan Yisrael, who passed away Friday from non-COVID pneumonia. Steinsaltz is best known for his monumental translation of the Talmud into Hebrew. He was 83. IDF forces killed four terrorists along the Syrian border who were trying to bring explosives into Israel. In response, Israeli jets bombed targets in Syria. A rocket was fired from Gaza and was intercepted by the Iron Dome over Sderot. Israel destroyed a cement factory in Gaza in retaliation. 68 corona-related fatalities, that means people died, were reported this week in Israel, the highest weekly total on record. Israel offered Lebanon humanitarian aid following the blast in Beirut that killed more than 150, injured hundreds, and left close to 300,000 people homeless. The offer was made through a third party, as Israel and Lebanon don't talk to each other. Anti-Semitic acts this week in Israel and in the U.S. include Jewish and Black cemeteries were desecrated while with white supremacist symbols outside in Virginia. The front window of the Holocaust and Intolerance Museum in Albuquerque, New Mexico was damaged by vandals. Four men were arrested for hanging a banner reading Hitler was right on a railroad bridge in Arizona. The men were charged with misdemeanor criminal trespass, but not a hate crime. Israel approved a $74 million bid for a 40% stake in LL Airlines from Eli Rosenberg, the 30-year-old son of American nursing home magnate Kenny Rosenberg. The owners of LL must now decide if they want to sell or take a $61 million bailout loan from the state. And finally, is your Bubby from Austria? The descendants of Austrian Holocaust survivors will be eligible for Austrian citizenship starting next month. The measure extends to the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren of survivors and is meant to help reconcile Nazi atrocities in Austria. Good luck with that. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program, When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, and visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the George Hour. We have up next, for your listening pleasure, this is Dovi Myself. The song is called Shabbat Shalom and Mubarak. You have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath.
Shabbos Shuloy Mevoy Ra Vashur Hoy Malaychem Heilige Maruchem Shabbos Abu
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Phil, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online State Senator Jeremy Moss, who serves part of the southeast corner of Michigan. And he and several of his companions, cohorts, colleagues have formulated something called the Black Jewish Caucus in the state legislature to promote, I guess, Black Jewish topics. And then we'll find out when we get done. How are you, Senator Moss?
I'm good. It's good to hear you this morning, Rabbi.
The pleasure is all mine. Okay, so tell us about, let's give a little bit of the backstory behind the Black Jewish Caucus, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, I mean, the backstory goes years and years and years. Of course, I think there is a strong bond between African-American communities and the Jewish communities, not only in this country, but around the world. And, you know, we have shared trauma in our history. And all of that kind of came to a head on April 30th at the Michigan State Capitol, where the whole world saw this protest during the early days of this coronavirus battle. And instead of battling the virus, the protesters really targeted in kind of this white nationalistic way members of the legislature and the governor. And you could look out of the Capitol where I was and just see protesters with Nazi imagery and Confederate flag imagery side by side. And a couple of years ago, our Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence here in the Detroit area formulated a Black and Jewish Unity Caucus to combat these types of hateful issues on the federal level. And we decided it was a chance for Black lawmakers and our Jewish lawmakers, of course, I'm included in that, to band together because hate crimes are on the rise here in Michigan. And Michigan ranked 6th out of 50 states last year in reported hate crimes. So there's just a lot of things that we can band together, support one another to tackle kind of a common threat. And that's why we formulated this caucus to begin to find out what are some legislative goals we want to push forward.
Okay, let's get some demography, please, from the legislature. First of all, how many people are between the Senate and the representatives of the legislature? How many representatives are in Michigan's state legislature?
So there are 148 legislators. There's 110 House members, and there are 38 state senators. I'm the only Jewish state senator, and we probably have about 4 or 5 African-American state senators. There are 2 Jewish state representatives and more than a dozen, I would say, African-American state representatives.
Okay. Are there any other minorities represented, or the Asian community, the Arab community, the Indian community?
Yeah, so there is actually a very robust, they call it a Black Caucus. That's kind of the historic title to it in the legislature, but it's really a person of color caucus that includes our Indian, our Asian American, our Latino American colleagues. So they're all under this umbrella of the Black Caucus. And then there are other caucuses that advocate for different issues regarding constituency groups. So there is a Hispanic caucus. There is an Asian American caucus. And then loosely, whenever the 3 Jewish members talk, we joke that we have a Jewish caucus. We don't have a minion, but we do have a Jewish caucus meeting. So there are 3 of us that talk about Jewish issues consistently. But it was a good opportunity, I think, for Black members of the legislature and Jewish members of the legislature to kind of at least give strength to our message of really combating some rhetoric that, as we know, rhetoric turns into action pretty quickly, and we need to really make sure that this fire isn't set ablaze.
Okay, so let me just ask you that. In your personal opinion, and knowing the people with whom you're working with, because before you were a senator, you're on the other side of the building.
Yep.
On April 30th, when that white supremacist rally was occurring, what percentage of the state legislature would you say was sympathetic to them?
So on April 30th, there were lawmakers that went outside of the Capitol to greet people on the front lawn. And amongst the crowd were some of these really problematic and troublesome imagery. I'll give you two examples, Rabbi. A week prior, one of our colleagues, this also made international news, wore a Confederate flag mask. And that's akin to an assault on our black colleagues. That flag, first of all, I don't know why you would wear a Confederate flag mask in Michigan. Michigan had more Union soldiers in the Civil War as a part of our population than any other state. So Michigan really won the Civil War for the Union. But also, it has a completely assaultive meaning to our black lawmakers. So that's problematic. Another example is, you know, the comparison to the Holocaust is very deeply troubling, and especially because this period of time in April fell over what normally would be an observance of Yom HaShoah in the state capitol, and we weren't able to observe that in the way that we had in the past. And there was a Republican lawmaker on the other side of the building who compared some of the things that the governor was doing as Hitler giving out yellow stars to the Jewish population. And we had a bit of a text exchange, me and this lawmaker, and she apologized for sharing that on Facebook. She shared that that's what the comparison was to her, because it completely minimizes what the Holocaust was, and it completely minimizes, you know, actual atrocities. And gives it some sort of perverted comparison to a governor who's trying to do everything she can to mitigate a virus. So that is lawmaker driven. Those two actions were driven by our lawmakers. All the more need for us to really kind of educate and explain why some of these things are problematic.
Okay. Our guest today is Jeremy Moss. He is a state senator representing the southeastern part of the state of Michigan in the state Senate. And we're talking about the Black Jewish Caucus. So what it seems to me, Senator, is that you and your immediate colleagues have a real uphill battle just within your own August body.
And you got it.
It doesn't surprise me that Michigan was number six in hate crimes in the country. I've had stuff happen. I'm very Jewish looking, and I was pulled over by a policeman in Saline who was told to turn off my menorah that I had on the top of my car. So these things are, and what did I say? I said, yes, sir, and turned it off. So it doesn't surprise me that there is this attitude out there prevalent in Michigan. How many people? What do you have? People that are would say, "Well, I'd like to be an honorary member of your caucus as well."
Yes, we do. We've gotten support from members who are very sympathetic and understand. That this imagery is problematic because hateful imagery, hateful rhetoric really can take a turn into hateful actions. So we've definitely had lawmakers that have been supportive of our efforts. I will say this, we kind of look at this April 30th date of the protest in the Capitol as what really kind of made this idea come together. And then not a month later, was the George Floyd death that really accelerated a conversation about race and hate and systemic biases that exist. And so there is an ongoing, honest conversation in the state Senate and this country for the first time on some of these issues. So this has only been able to give more liftoff to our goals as a Black and Jewish Unity Caucus of promoting measures of equity and tearing down systems of oppression. So, April 30th was problematic at the state capitol. The George Floyd murder was a huge issue that sparked a lot of conversation around the country. And so this is all encompassing of, we need to have an honest conversation. Just because there is hatred that you don't see and you aren't a target of, doesn't mean other groups don't experience it. And I think that has helped to bring this idea even more forward.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit of history. Back in the 50s in the South, there were protests that were led by Martin Luther King and Reverend Abernathy and a whole slew of others of his cohorts. And they were joined on the front lines. We have pictures of walking hand in hand across the bridge in Selma, Alabama, rabbis and Jewish leaders that came down to help. And there was a real bond in the 50s as the signs all said, no Jews or blacks allowed. So then comes 1967. So that's fine. And then comes 1967, and we have the death of the assassination of Martin Luther King, followed by the riots all over the country. And suddenly there's now a split between the black community and the Jewish community. And the black community were basically saying at that point, we can do it on our own. 2020.
Yeah.
So where are, at least in your professional capacity, where is the black and Jewish relationship now? Are they reaching out to us, or is it us, the Jews, because of our general sense of feeling of Brahmanis, of having compassion and humankind, et cetera? Is it just the Jews reaching out to the blacks?
No, I found this to be an absolutely full partnership on both ends. And, I live in Southfield, Michigan, and Southfield, Michigan thrives because of strong neighborhoods that have a strong Jewish community and a strong African-American community. And so my experience, I can speak for my experience, that this is a partnership that my hometown has valued. And it goes both ways. So coming into the legislature, it was very easy for me to go to leaders of respective caucuses and say, this is something that we need to work on together. And it was immediately embraced with the chairwoman of the Detroit caucus, Representative Sherry Gay Danyogo, and the chairman of the Black Caucus, Senator Marshall Bullock. And this is a Jewish value. This is absolutely a Jewish value to assist in this fight, even if we don't feel it directly. Now, I certainly felt it directly with Nazi imagery and the rise in anti-Semitism, but it's just a natural partnership to grow our efforts. So I'll give you one example, too, of kind of where this camaraderie comes about. We passed a law in my early part of serving in the legislature a few years ago to mandate curriculum that educates Michigan students on the Holocaust, very detailed on what needs to be educated so that we learn from our history and have fact-based information about the Holocaust in Michigan schools. After Charlottesville, one of my colleagues, Representative Gay Danyogo, pushed forward on legislation to give more comprehensive African-American history in Michigan schools as a part of the curriculum. So in the Jewish community, we had our achievement of education curriculum, and it was a positive thing for us to partner together to also call for African American history to be detailed in Michigan curriculum. So there was already a Jewish and Black unity And now we're just solidifying it as a caucus. So I have found that that partnership is hand in hand and works both ways.
Okay. Again, our guest today is state senator from the state of representative, the great state of Michigan, Senator Jeremy Moss. And we're talking about the Black Jewish caucus that exists in the state legislature. Okay. So, Jeremy, what are the goals of the Black Jewish caucus?
So this is a great question. So a Black and Jewish Unity Coalition already exists in Metro Detroit. They formed in 2018. Several African-American preachers out of Detroit, several rabbis, and certainly an affiliation with the Jewish Federation of Metro Detroit. And they have promoted programming, different curriculums, different events, different public opportunities for people to become engaged. We view our caucus as working with them as the legislative arm to combat some of these measures, to strengthen Michigan's hate crime law. One easy, natural piece of legislation I think we can move forward with is Representative Kyra Harris Bolden from Southfield, my representative actually, introduced legislation after enduring these protests at the state capitol to not allow the Nazi swastika and to not allow the Confederate flag be on display at the state capitol grounds. So this is something I think is a natural first piece of legislation to advocate for. Other states, have had problems, obviously, in the South with the Confederate flag, have removed that imagery from their Capitol grounds. And so this would be a piece of legislation we could advocate for that would also include swastika and other imagery that incites hate. So we see this as a legislative arm to an existing group that's already creating programming and education opportunities.
Okay, you're reminding me of very interesting that it's why it has to be, you're limiting it to like the state capital area. When we took over Jewish Ferndale, we bought the building, we were discussing signage. And in Ferndale, like probably everywhere else, there's very strict laws about putting a sign on your front lawn, even if you have a public building. And as of this airing, we still do not have a sign because we've not come to agreement with the city about what kind of sign it is. But the city planner told me you could hang anything on your house. He said, you can put a Confederate flag on your house. That's freedom of speech. I can't touch you.
Private property. So, that's right.
So is there not something that can be done to extend that to, like, it should be that there's no hate symbols in any public place, and extend that to, say, like, a public building like a Jewish Ferndale, that we wouldn't have any type of hate thing anyway?
Yeah, obviously we have to be very compliant with people's constitutional rights to free speech. But we're pretty confident in Representative Bolden's bill and how it would hold up. So, yeah, you know, more than that is tackling the systemic oppression, the systemic biases that would empower someone to want to fly a Confederate flag or to identify as a neo-Nazi or nationalist. You know, you can take down flags, you can take down banners, but more than that, I think what our caucus really wants to achieve is really tackling the root of the issue, through education, through understanding, and really through aggressive enforcement of the existing hate crime law that we have here in Michigan, which does protect people on the basis of their race and religion already.
Okay, so let's talk about this. I'm not familiar with the bill. I should have read up on it before the show, but the shortcomings in Michigan's hate crime law. And I'll give an example. I don't know if you heard me reading the news before, but in Arizona, four people were arrested who hung up a sign on off a bridge that read, "Hitler was right." And what were they arrested for? criminal trespass, not for a hate crime, but because the bridge was owned by a private company, and it said no trespassing, there was a sign. So they were arrested for trespass, not hate crime. That seems to me sounds like something could be tightened up in Arizona. So what needs to be tightened up in Michigan, Senator Jerry Moss?
I'll give you the perfect example. So last year, we were going through these budget debates, and the Attorney General, Dana Nessel, who is Jewish, within her budget, she removed a lot of political appointees from her predecessor, took that money, and created a more robust hate crimes enforcement division within the Michigan Attorney General's office. This law was, I believe, signed into law by Governor Engler 30 some odd years ago to create a hate crime statute of what is a hate crime and who are targets of hate crimes in Michigan. And the Attorney General 30 some odd years later said, well, maybe we should enforce this a little bit more. We are the sixth out of 50, as was mentioned. And so she reshifted her funding to create this division. Then she was kind of called into the principal's office. The Republican-led oversight committee really grilled her about why is she creating this hate crimes division. And, you know, the opponents of her division, who wanted to defund it from the state budget, so wanted to strip her office of that funding, even though she didn't spend one more dime creating this, because they, you know, err on the side of free speech. And free speech exists in this country, but there you cannot utilize free speech to incite and command and inflict hateful actions. That's where the limit is. And so we have a hate crime statute. We have an attorney general that is funding or fighting to fund a division to enforce it. And so we've met obstacles every step of the way, as you can imagine. And that's why, you know, Rabbi, we need more diverse voices in Lansing, because nobody would ever experience being pulled over and told to turn off their menorah unless they're Jewish. So obviously we need more people with this shared experience of what it's like to be targeted, what it's like to face prejudice, because if you don't have that experience, of course you don't know it exists because you're not impacted by it. So I think this is definitely a call to action to make sure that we have diverse voices in the conversation as well.
Indeed. So it seems to me then, just throwing a shoe on the other foot, is if I say I want to kill all Nazis, can I get arrested for that?
It depends on, so I'm not a lawyer, but I know that there is a line between what you can say and then how you incite hateful actions. And so, you know, I think it's a case-by-case analysis, but that's why we would have a hate crimes division in the Attorney General's office to make those determinations, to really define what that is on a case-by-case basis. But you cannot utilize your First Amendment right to actively inflict hateful actions upon someone else.
Okay, so it's an uphill battle. And everybody knows that once you get north of Saginaw, it's basically dealing with the one homogeneous unit up there. So, okay.
Yeah.
Any last words for something that I might not have missed, Senator Jerry?
No, I think that there just is a strong and enduring relationship, in my experience, between the African-American community that I represent and the Jewish community that I represent. And this is an opportunity. I've only had positive experiences in forming this and everybody kind of stepping up saying, okay, plug me in. Where do I fit in? How can I be a part of this narrative too? So I'm hopeful that there just are more people who realize that these things are problematic rather than people who are causing the problems. And so I'm looking forward to the work ahead.
That's wonderful. Okay, and just a personal question. This is probably the first time in quite an even year you're not running for something. How's that feel?
Feels great. Let me tell you, it feels great, especially, you know, I admire every candidate who stepped up to campaign not knowing that there would be a global pandemic on the campaign trail, you know, and in and around the neighborhoods that they need to campaign in. So Michigan voters stepped up. We had record turnout for an August election, made it easier to vote from home. So I'm thankful to be an observer of this process rather than somebody who really had to endure what was a very tough election season and will continue to be a tough election season.
Okay. That is our guest today was representative of the state of Michigan, Senator Jerry Moss. We talked about the Black Jewish Caucus, and I hope we can call on you, and you can maybe call on us to keep us apprised of what's going on in Lansing, please, Jeremy.
You got it. You fit in this, too. You know, Jewish Ferndale's fantastic, so we will keep you in the know.
Here's your devoted conference. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Phil Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is one of my favorite songs. This is called the Odessa Bulger, and I have been playing this song off and on by various versions and various groups for the length of the show, as long as we've been 25 years. And till this day, I don't know what a bulger is. So other than bulger wheat, which is used in making tibbouli, but that's not what this is. So this is the Odessa Bulger. And this is the Amsterdam Klezmer Ensemble, and it's just for you. wonderful that was, the Amsterdam Klezmer Ensemble, or Das Holger. Coming up next for your listening pleasure, this one's got a little sad backstory to it. It's called Moshe's Tenua, which means a tenua is really would be translated like a stanza, for those who are familiar with music. So you have a song, and the sheet music has like lines of music, and each little section is called a stanza. So tenua is that little bit like a movement, yes. This is Shlomi Weber. It's called Moshe's Tenua. Moshe, it's his memory of Moshe used to, the young man who was killed in a hit-and-run accident in Arizona this year, just after Passover. So let's listen.
Auf mein Herz, denn ich sing zu dir. Wenn ich allein ich sing, nur meine Schuppe, ja, Geräusche. Warte, ich mach auf mein Herz, in einem Regen mach ich von dir. Ich hab noch nicht gewiss, dass mir zogen, oder was Schule, Mäusche. Ich mach auf mein Herz, in am Nigen mach ich vor dir. Ich verharr, ich geif in der Welt, und ich geif mich schon scheiden. Dachte, ich mach auf mein Herz, in ich sehe zu dir. Wir auf die Gleit, ich will schon singen in Gemeiden.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
There's your summer shower. This week is the portion of Re'e. It can be found in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 11 and following. It also, at the end of the week, we have Rosh Chodesh Elul. Friday begins the first day of Elul. And for those keeping track, it'll be the Finman 37th wedding anniversary. Yes. I had to get my wife's at 37 somethings. Got any suggestions that will fit into a Jewish hour budget for 37 somethings for Fauna Finman's anniversary? Drop me a line at RabbiFinman.com. Anyway, so the two have a connection, as Re'e is always the Shabbos before. It's either the Shabbos before Elul, or it's the Shabbos, the first day of Elul. So there has to be a connection. Things just don't happen per chance. So here's the deal. The very first verse of the portion says, look, that's what Re'e means, look, I'm placing before you life and death. And the Gemara expounds that, and good and evil. And then the Gemara says, oh, choose life. And we've talked about this before, that seems like a superfluous recommendation. Who's going to choose death? But now we're going to put it in the context of Elul. What is Elul? Elul is one of two Jewish months in the year that has absolutely no holidays, because the entire month's focus is getting ready for the upcoming new year. In Judaism, the new year is not a time when we put on fancy party hats and tutus and tutus, those things, they go toot, those type of things, and drink copious quantities of champagne, stay up all night, make resolutions that are going to be gone before the end of the month is over. That's not our new year. We're not dancing out in the streets. But rather, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the Jewish year, is a fiscal year. It's like, this is what's getting appropriated. This is, the world is in a state of judgment. And we have to cover for those. Who doesn't want to have the judgment on their side? You got to do prep. You can't go into a court of law with a case against you where you're the defendant and just say, you know, I'm going to wing it. You got to know what's in store, what's coming at you. You have to prepare. Your lawyers have to have really, be really good. So that's what Moses is saying over here. Moses is saying, look, you got a month. Do it today. Take care of this now. Because listen, the easiest way to go to court is to get it thrown out of court before the court case even starts. Never mind a settlement. We're just going to get the total dismissal. Nothing here, what to talk about. That's what we're looking for. Okay, so now, in order to do that, we're going to need advocates. And this is where Moses again says, look, it's right in front of you. We've already had two of them in the book of Deuteronomy. Got one coming up. What are the advocates? The advocates are learning Torah, prayer, charity, tshuva, coming back to God, and the trump card, you should pardon the expression, wanting the final redemption. And all of those are alluded to in various verses which are found throughout the length and breadth of the Bible. Like, for example, about Torah. So there's a statement that says that a person, when they kill somebody accidentally, has to go to a city of refuge, where there they'll be protected. So what is a Jew's city of refuge? The Jew's city of refuge is the Torah. That's where we go. When you look, you could ask the question, how Jews lived for the last 2,000 years? It doesn't make any sense that there's anybody in this world alive today who can identify themselves as Jewish. But simple answer, it's the Torah. That's our refuge. That's what we have been able to hold on to, what's been able to hold on to us. And then we have this idea of increasing in prayer. Increasing in prayer means in quantity. We add special prayers. People from North Africa and to the east of Israel, they wake up early in the morning for a whole entire month and say prayers of supplication. They're up there every single day, and we're up only from the week before Rosh Hashanah. But the real idea of prayer is it's coming from the heart. This person's wanting to get closer to God. And Moshe is saying, look, it's right there. You got it. Because I've said it zillions of times in the last 25 years. The relationship that we have with the Almighty is the relationship that we establish with the Almighty. You want to get closer to God, God wants to get closer to you. You could care less, God could care less. Let's see how that works for you. And then there's the idea of charity, especially, people, it's a fiscal year. The fiscal year ends the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is, I believe, September. It's a Saturday, and it is, I believe, I'm going to pull it up right this second, September 12th. And you have until September 12th. You were given a lot of money this year to give to charity. If you don't give it away, it gets taken away. So you have to go through your books. I've got stories about this all over the place, about people with their 10%. You got to give 10% away. Go through your QuickBooks or your Peachtree or whatever it is, your account. See, make sure that you're on the up and up with your 10%. And make sure to give it away before Rosh Hashanah. Do it that way, rather than having it taken away some way that you don't want to. And by the way, so you can always go to rabbifinman.com, and we'll definitely be able to accept and distribute your charitable donations. We've been doing that for 30 years. And then this idea of coming close to God, which is one of the more famous verses, I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. Again, the idea being is that in Judaism, we don't repent. That's not our deal. In Judaism, we come back. We come home. Because that's the status quo, the norm, is to be connected and have a wonderful relationship with the Almighty. And then finally, Moses himself said, I will sing to Hashem because he's most high. That Moses was saying there, that verse is stated in the future tense, which refers to the coming of the Messiah, the Mashiach. And as the Baruch Rebbe said, the only thing that could be missing now, besides the good deeds that need to be perpetrated, the one last good deed, but is a person's awareness that we want to have it. It's not some nebulous, ethereal, theoretical, out there, somewhat, are you kidding me, type theory that there's going to be a messianic era. It's real. And if people are going to show the Almighty, I want it, the Almighty's going to bring it. Speaking of bringing it on, we've got to take a quick commercial break because we've got the Hasidic story coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy?
At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
In touch with me, RIFINMAN.com. And there you can get in touch with me. You'll find archived editions of the show. You'll find other ways in which we express Judaism in an interesting and educational way. There's classes there, which I put a lot of work into those classes, and I personally think they're very good. And, of course, the very important donation page. We need your help, just like it is with every week for the last 25 years. I've been saying we're listener supported. We have a couple sponsors. Yes, that's true. But for the most part, we need you. So go to RabbiFinman.com before the end of the year, before Rosh Hashanah. Make it a yearly donation. Set it up so that you don't have to make it a yearly donation, but you give monthly. It's automatic through PayPal. Do it today. Doesn't have to be big. You have to follow through. You got to do it. If you want to give big, we can handle that too. Don't like giving internet giving? Understood. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Speaking of Ferndale, you might want to check out Jewish Ferndale, see what's new over there. We've got the Lending Library is going to be probably up and running, hopefully, we're hoping for Rosh Hashanah, that we'll have some kind of curbside service for that. And all the details are going to be shortly on the website. We have our events page, all the things that we're doing there. This week we have on Sunday, we have at 4 o'clock, Hannah Finman will be giving an art lesson. On Tuesday, Hannah Finman does a review of a book from the Rothschild Lending Library. Monday nights is my Tanya class. Friday night, Friday right before the Sabbath, Yochanan lights candles and gives everybody a blessing and talks about a little bit, all things you want to check out. And you can connect all of that through the Ferndale Facebook page, which connects to the Herschel Finman Facebook page, and you'll all have a good time. Story time, the Baal Shem Tov. Once walked into the synagogue, Baal Shem Tov, he passed away in 1862. So this happened sometime before, 1762. So this happened sometime before then. He walked into the synagogue to pray the evening prayers, just a regular weekday. And he walked over to the lectern where he normally prayed, and he closed his eyes. And he didn't give the signal to start, which they always waited for the signal to start. He just stood there for an hour. And people were used to stuff like this happening, and they waited for an hour. And then finally, after an hour, he prayed, and he prayed with such enthusiasm that was so infectious. Everybody was so happy that after the davening, after the evening prayers, just the regular middle of the week, it all broke out into song and dance. And then the Balshemtov explained what happened. He said, years ago, there was a young man who became disenfranchised with Judaism. And he went away and basically forgot everything he knew about Judaism. He became a businessman and had been traveling, you know, the old adage, buy wholesale, sell retail. And it happened this week. Bring up the music behind me, please. They happened to be in a Jewish town, and he saw the people, what was going on. He says, well, we're praying. It's Rosh Hashanah. This is what Jews do. And God slapped him. This is what Jews do. But this person didn't even recognize it. He himself was Jewish. He was told, you, this is what we do. And he goes, you non-Jews, you do that. So it was, he went into the synagogue, and he remembered that women don't go to synagogue on Rosh Hashanah at night. And he stayed up there and he hid. And he really wanted to daven. It really bothered him. And finally, when everybody left, he broke down and cried and prayed to the Almighty, I want to pray as well. And he did the best that he could. The Baal Shem Tov said, I was waiting for him because I wanted to daven at the same time that he did. That's going to do it. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
Mein Herz ist halb zerteilt in zweien, halb Amid in halb Leshem Shemayim. Wie der Breck von einem Jam verswerft, wie der Kohl von einem Bog verschärft, sie sich in Sedan.